In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to start today by giving my best impression of being a cranky and disagreeable person. Some would say that should come quite naturally. So here goes. It's just not natural. It's just not natural that women should get uppity, that they should question traditional sex roles, or expect the gender pay gap to be closed, or seek ordination, or indeed to challenge men's right to impregnate them. It's just not natural. It's just not natural when gays and lesbians think that they're just like everybody else. Indeed, that they're just as good as decent, respectable people. As if it's all right for men to be sexually passive, or else to sexually dominate other men instead of sexually dominating women. Or as if it's all right for some women to have a sex life free of men. And don't get me started on same-sex marriage. That's almost as bad as men selling out to become women, or women thinking that they can become men. It's just not natural. Likewise, it's just not natural when foreign immigrants take what's ours, especially Asians and Arabs, just like all those Southern and Eastern Europeans used to do after the war. And don't get me started on black and brown people, especially Indigenous people. They should be grateful. We've carried the white man's burden on their behalf, and now they want a voice to lord it over us. And what's next? It's just not natural. But hang on. Just what is natural? Too often, the natural is just the conventional and the preservation of established privilege. And this, of course, changes from age to age. And we're beginning to catch on to that. Once women's sport was a sideshow, but last Wednesday night saw up to 11 million of us tuned in to watch the Matildas and cheer them on. Once the love of same-sex couples dared not speak its name because it was unnatural. But now we know that it's perfectly natural for a minority as part of our rich human experience, like left-handedness. Likewise, without necessarily buying into every ideological extreme, we're beginning to realise that gender isn't always reducible to a simple binary, that what's natural in matters of gender, as with sexuality, has to be discovered, not insisted on with the aid of a big stick. As for race, there's been a long struggle against white supremacy throughout the West, and especially in America, which can't acknowledge its guilt over 2.5 centuries of chattel slavery, and which dare not allow blacks too much sway at the ballot box. That would disrupt the stable, natural order of things. How dare they claim that black lives matter as much as blue lives, let alone white lives? And friends, even here in Australia, the old racial superiority of white over black, long thought to be the natural order of things, dies hard as desperately anxious champions of the no case are amply demonstrating. Yet we have such a lot to learn from Indigenous cultures, for instance, about living in harmony with the environment, while we in the West show our respect for what's natural by destroying as much of it as we can. Now, if we've begun to question this equating of our biases with what's natural, if we've become more attuned to human equality, human rights, human self-determination, is this because we've thrown off the harsh authoritarian yoke of religion as modern children of the Enlightenment. That's a common enough claim, isn't it? But our readings this morning tell a different story. Today's readings all celebrate God's merciful outreach to the nations. But this generosity emerges, it overflows from God's prior commitment to beloved Israel. So generosity and inclusion and the welcoming of difference represent something more than just progressive left-wing self-congratulation. Instead, this humanistic breakthrough actually comes from the Bible and from our God, who overturns the natural in favour of the unnatural. So Paul reminds us in Romans today that we Gentiles, that is, we who are not Jewish, have been welcomed into God's family in Jesus Christ on the back of Israel's covenant, which has never been revoked. As he puts it, it's not you that supports the root, but the root that supports you. And here he echoes both Isaiah and our psalm today. Isaiah, after Judah's return from foreign exile, finds it in himself to be generous to foreigners, declaring that Israel's God loves universally. Likewise, Psalm 67, that wedding psalm, announces God's blessings to the nations. Yet, the psalmist praises Israel's God for this blessing, not just some good-natured generic divinity that Anglicans might find appealing. That your ways may be known on earth, your liberating power among all nations. Whose liberating power? The God of Israel, the God who we know, who is reliable. And none of this is natural. And here's my point today. St. Paul makes it clear in today's reading that Israel is God's first and inalienable love, even if many in Israel are unresponsive. So God shares some of that unrequited love with us who aren't Jewish. And listen to his language. This is the key to it. Listen to his language about what is and is not natural. You have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree. Hear that? It is contrary to nature that you and I are Christians. It is contrary to nature that you and I are here today giving thanks and praise to the God of grace who has found us and established us in God's family, a family that goes back to Moses and Abraham, in which we have no natural claim of blood or ancestry. And so in that context, we come to today's beloved passage of the Canaanite woman in the gospel, which gives us a window into how this inclusion of Gentiles played out in the earliest church, such as the church from which Matthew's gospel emerged, a church that we think was predominantly Jewish. Now, Jesus is portrayed in a fairly confronting way in this passage, and I don't think we have to avoid that. He's portrayed as reluctant to help this woman, only then to be won over by her as much by her wit as by her faith. And this exchange provides a role model for Christians and congregations whenever there's doubt about who gets a seat at the table. And because Jesus is portrayed as initially reluctant, we can feel a bit okay if we face some reluctance and uncertainty, given how difficult these changes, these new arrivals can be. This is acknowledged, and that is surely helpful. So, here's this pushy, mouthy woman, and an indigenous woman at that, a descendant of those original inhabitants of Canaan before Israel arrived, and indeed who had fought frontier wars with Israel. She fronts Jesus bold as brass, like a Palestinian woman demanding entry at an Israeli checkpoint, or like Rosa Parks not giving up that bus seat in Montgomery, Alabama in 1955, or like Senator Lydia Thorpe fronting the National Press Club last week. Now, none of these women necessarily get a warm welcome, but they persisted with the Canaanite woman presented in the gospel as teaching Jesus a thing or two. There's no place for her at the table, maybe, but even the dogs might expect a few scraps. The Canaanite woman ignores Jesus' mansplaining and stakes her claim on the grace of God, a grace that's evident to her in the story of Israel. So why can't she and her little girl have some of that? Why not indeed? And Jesus is presented as being won over. But he's not a woke liberal. He doesn't betray the traditional faith of Israel. He just sees to the heart of it, so that something unexpected happens and against the order of nature. That is, against the deeply entrenched and near irresistible forces of willfully blinded self-interest that make the world go round. So, friends, our gift and our challenge here in the Eucharist is to recognise and to claim this unnatural state of affairs for our own, to know ourselves as the recipients of a gift, as those who have been engrafted rather than people who are naturally entitled. And precisely this breakthrough insight frees us to be genuinely large-souled, genuinely welcoming of others, regardless of any claim that it's just not natural. And a good place to start would be on referendum day. The Lord be with you.